Welcome back to Yang Daily. Quite overloaded with news today. It's gonna be a long one. Sorry for the late airing, and sorry if I sound a bit off. I might be getting my girlfriend's cold. And yes, she only had a cold, not COVID. And no, you won't catch it through the podcast. Let's get to it. Yet again, the relief bill has failed to pass. Pelosi released her own bill today that includes a surprisingly reasonable UBI. Like, it's actually universal. Everyone gets it. Well, there is a provision that you need to have a taxpayer ID number, and I don't know who wouldn't have one. Maybe people who have never filed taxes before? I don't know. But it specifically says you don't have to have paid taxes. It is for $1,500 per person, including children, up to a maximum of $7,500 per family. The downside is that, like McConnell's bill, it is a one-time payment, which is super lame. It does have means testing, but only on the back end. Everyone gets it, and then 2020 tax returns are used to tax back the benefit for those who earn over $75,000 or $150,000 for joint filers. This means the bureaucracy comes at tax time, not when it's being handed out, which means it won't prevent people from getting help. Much better. Certainly, the $75,000 cutoff is quite low and will not help a lot of people in big cities, which sucks. But it's the same cutoff as McConnell's, so it's overall a significant improvement over that one. Unfortunately, it'll never pass because they stuck it in a bunch of pork. The bill is 1,400 pages long and includes many items that have nothing to do with the crisis, like diversifying boards, fuel emissions for airlines, solar tax credits, just ridiculous BS to stick in a virus relief bill. I guess they'll be pressured into signing one or the other bill at some point, but that point is looking pretty distant. Justin Amash is now arguing for UBI, and he makes a lot of good points. I'll just quickly read a few here. Quote, provide $1,250 per adult and $500 per child for each of the next 3 months, unless the lockdowns end sooner. After the third month, Congress can renew, modify, or discontinue these payments as appropriate. Make the payments universal to speed things up. We can consider recouping payments made to high-income households later, but we shouldn't delay payments now. The proposals coming out of Congress will make things worse by empowering government to make decisions individuals and businesses are best equipped to make. They want to limit flexibility when we need it most, as we try to weather a crisis and eventually rebuild. The government can't know how to serve everyone's needs. That can only be decided by millions of people making individual choices. The best way to serve everyone is for the government to allow the people to make decisions without interference to the greatest extent possible. This is especially important in times of crisis. Our needs just changed very suddenly, and options for serving those needs have been abruptly limited by social distancing. As a result, many individuals and entities will have to make big changes very quickly. Likewise, neither Congress nor the Treasury Secretary should be picking winners and losers. Corporate welfare is not only unjust, but also reflects government conceit. Only consumers, not politicians, can appropriately determine what companies deserve to succeed. Congress can best help by giving people enough cash so that they can continue covering their expenses in the immediate future. This is a better use of taxpayer money than all the other things being discussed. Don't create a bunch of complex programs or targeted appropriations. If Congress is looking to spend more money here, just give it to the people. Complex targeted interventions will cause unintended consequences and be less effective because we can't know what kind of help everyone needs. Cash relief to the people is the best way to serve everyone, whether they need to cover a mortgage, food, a car payment, or childcare. End quote. I completely agree. Moving on. The UK is finding out just how fragile their own welfare system is as user volume has increased orders of magnitude and completely log-jammed their website and staff. People applying for the universal credit found themselves in online queues up to 88,000 people long. If you make it through the queue, you get run around on the site until it kicks you out, then you have to start again, perhaps with a new company in a new queue. Brilliant. I can see why progressives are so fond of the welfare state. The same overload is happening here, especially with unemployment. It's projected that over 2 million will have filed for UI by next week. Many will be waiting a long time to receive it. Ireland now has a petition for UBI. No zip codes required. Please help the worldwide effort by signing it below. There's also a petition down there to get Governor Cuomo to conduct regular COVID testing in New York's homeless shelters, as the occupants there are living in extremely close proximity and the virus could explode very rapidly in their population. Takes less than a minute to sign. New Zealand's Prime Minister is also now championing UBI as a long-term economic option. So that's good news. Johan Hari visited Joe Rogan's podcast and talked about the positive effects UBI has on mental health. I haven't had time to listen, but check it out if you're interested. Yang also made an appearance on NPR's podcast. I haven't had time to listen to that one either. I need like 5 times the time per unit of time I currently have, you know? Furthermore, Yang is going to appear on the 1A podcast tomorrow, and they are currently taking questions on Twitter to ask Andrew on air. I've already submitted an egregious number myself. My big ones are, bear with me, there's a lot of them. 1, did any candidates reach out to you for discussion of policy during the campaign? Did you reach out to them? Why do you think no candidates adopted any of your policies? Even simple, controversial, and obviously good things like the American scorecard. I'd really like to know that because the lack of policy exchange in the race was upsetting to me, and I want to know if Yang tried with Bernie and others and was rebuffed. 2, you usually couch UBI as a response to the crisis of automation, or now, COVID. Is UBI just a failsafe for disasters, or is it something that would be important to do even without such threats? I feel Yang gets bogged down in the automation argument, and it's a distraction and point of contention for a lot of people. I'd like for him to make the argument for UBI on its own as well, because it would 100% improve our society even in the best of times, and that should be the base argument in my opinion. 3, the electability polling data that included you showed you as the most electable candidate, winning over the most Republicans, former non-voters, independents, and having the only positive national favorability in the field, but almost no voters know this. Is this why you lost? I want to make sure he realizes how the campaign dropped the ball on this so it doesn't happen again in 2024. And obviously, I just want to get that electability information out there to as many people as possible because it's really important. 4, do you see the current economic crisis as America's wake-up call and opportunity to reforge an economy that works for the common citizen? I'm sure he does, but I want others to hear him discuss it so people see that we have a chance to rebuild America into the free country it was meant to be. I also think Rebuild America would be a great hashtag to trend. 5, many Republicans, historically, would like to see welfare completely replaced by a UBI, but many Democrats would like to see a UBI that replaces no welfare. Would UBI be better than the welfare state? Would it be a Trojan horse? Where do you sit on the issue and why? It's clear at this point that many progressives are not going to get the clue on welfare without help, so I think he needs to address this directly and make the case for his approach. 6, do you think the adoption of UBI or any other policy could hand the win to Trump or Biden, whichever adopts it? Why? Do you think they will do it? This is really just to get Biden and Trump thinking about what UBI could do for them. 7, you made some tweets during the campaign about a shorter work week potentially being more cost-effective for businesses, even without reducing wages, while providing obvious benefits for workers. Is this something you were considering as a policy? If so, what would it be? He got me really excited with those studies showing shorter work weeks are better all around, and I was disappointed it never became a policy of his. I think we should push this. It fits perfectly with a more humane economy. 8. Last one, I promise. America is built on the pursuit of freedom. At the time, that did not include slaves, but we evolved. Now, 78% of Americans live check to check with no option but to work long hours for another's profit to simply survive. Are Americans free? For me and Scott Santons, this is at the crux of the reasons for UBI. A better, freer society that finally breaks the chains of slavery that we've marginally hidden by inserting money and limited options between slave and master. I've never heard Yang actually address wage slavery, probably because it's a charged issue, but I'm very curious as to his thoughts on it. All right, done with questions. Income Movement is expanding their operations to hold daily conference calls at 8 p.m. Eastern on the UBI effort that anyone is welcome to participate in. It's largely revolving around the current bills in Congress right now and what we can do to steer them the way we want. If you miss a call, they are uploading each one to YouTube. They are also accepting volunteers to check in on people and make sure they have what they need. If you are in need of help, then they have put together a fantastic document with dozens of aid programs you can turn to. Links for all of that are below. Amusingly, our old frenemy, Daily Cause, produced an article on Yang yesterday covering his thoughts on COVID that you can find below. What makes it even more amusing is that they included a poll at the end that everyone agrees is worded so badly as to be meaningless. Classic Cause. It was ruined by Yang Gang anyway. Much less amusing is what's going on in Spain right now. About a month ago, Spain's Minister of Health told the people that COVID was not in Spain and people had nothing to worry about. They did not prepare for an epidemic. Sound familiar yet? Here's where it gets rough. Fast forward to today and doctors are posting videos in tears telling people about how there are nowhere near enough ventilators for the number of patients who need them. The government has ordered that they are to be given to younger patients who have a better chance of survival, and the doctors are left to the bloody triage of taking ventilators from seniors and leaving them to die in the hopes of saving others. Yeah. Let that sink in. Now let this sink in. New York is already calling a shortage of ventilators by next week, and the same will be happening all across the country if we can't ramp up enough production fast enough. Our government made the same mistakes as Spain, China, Iraq, and Italy, and this could be us soon. If someone's not taking this seriously, share this story. In that vein, Governor of Texas Dan Patrick went on Fox to talk about how he thinks Trump is right and we should get the economy back to normal and that the elderly can assume the risks and be responsible for themselves. Let's get back to living the American dream, he says. Apparently, he wants the young to get back to living and the elderly to get back to dying, and the American dream is to waste away in wage slavery. Sounds great. Andrew tweeted today that sometimes it's okay to just focus on what you are going to do right now or tonight or tomorrow. Gotta say, I don't know how focusing on crying in the fetal position is going to help us here, boss. Back to some better news. The donations for Humanity Forward's online aid have reached $200,000. You guys are awesome. And finally, Audible is currently allowing free streaming of many audiobooks aimed at children up through teens to offer some entertainment and educational options to parents while we're cooped up at home. You don't need an account, and there are a lot to choose from. Check them out in the links. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Check out the UBI podcasts, Audible's free books, and the Income Movement database. Set a daily alarm for the Income Movement conference call. Catch up on the Income Movement YouTube channel. Sign all the petitions. Add your name to the pressing UBI STEM letter to Congress. Volunteer or donate on the HF Relief site. Contact Humanity Forward or United Way if you need help. Message Trump, Pelosi, McConnell, Graham, Dean, and Schumer why true UBI stimulus is the best solution. Use ResistBot or Income Movement to easily contact your representatives. And don't forget to Yang Daily.